Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us today. And of course, it's game day edition of the show, Indiana hosting Iowa tonight. And I think it goes without saying, I think everybody knows what an important game this is tonight for Indiana. Not playing great basketball right now, not playing well even at home in the friendly confines of Assembly Hall. And this is an important one tonight. If Indiana is going to continue to stay in the bracket projections, because they're in right now, but if they're going to continue to stay in as things update in future weeks, Indiana has got to be victorious tonight, and they're going to have to find a little bit of success, just a little bit of success on the road here in the next few weeks and come back to Assembly Hall and close it out with two home wins for the season. So interesting times ahead. Tonight, hard to know what to expect. It's an Iowa team that's been up and down, but, you know, it's college basketball. Most teams at some point are up and down. Indiana has been a lot of down lately, so we'll see exactly how things play out tonight. And, again, it's always interesting based on Archie Miller's comments on his coach's show earlier this week, which is always here on the Big X. And he had some pregame media availability yesterday. You never quite know when he's going to pull the trigger on major changes, some additional changes, and I don't even know exactly what those changes would be. But going to be interesting tonight to see how Indiana handles this home game against Iowa. And I think, obviously, our conversation on Friday's program and maybe even moving forward even beyond that will be dictated a lot by what happens tonight in the game. A loss, and it is just hard for me to see what this team does next or how they rebound for it. If you just think about things very fairly with what's ahead on the schedule, where some of the games are at, who they're against, there's no way you can say that this game isn't a must-win for Indiana as far as NCAA tournament chances go. So big one tonight for Indiana. We'll have the play-by-play here on the Big X. The game tips at 8. That means that Don Fisher and crew will be on tonight at 7 o'clock with the pregame show. Only a game in the Big Ten Conference tonight as well, which is interesting. There were some games last night, which we'll catch up on here in the headlines. But a big one tonight, Iowa at Assembly Hall against Indiana. Also tonight, we have our Southern Indiana tip-off show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. It's how we get you ready for the big games and high school basketball in Clark and Floyd counties each week. And this week, of course, the show airs Thursday, and then it'll air again on Friday before the New Albany-Providence game. But this week on the show, we're joined by three coaches. Ryan Miller of Providence, he's one of those coaches. Christian Academy coach Steve Kerberg also joins the tip-off show. And Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, whose team already this week has had a big game and a big victory. He'll join us on the tip-off show in advance of the Dragons' only game of the weekend, which is a Friday night battle, a Mid-Southern Conference battle, and an important game in the Mid-Southern Conference as Silver Creek plays at Scottsburg. So that's all coming your way tonight on the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show. It's also will air tomorrow in advance of the New Albany-Providence game, a great way to get ready for the upcoming weekend in high school basketball. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have some Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the program, Alex Bozich is out today, so Cameron Drummond of Inside the Hall, one of his writers, is going to join us in place of Alex. He'll help us make some final preparations and preview for the Iowa at Indiana game tonight. And be curious to get another IU writer, Cameron, his thoughts on this Indiana team as far as where they're at, what they have to do to try to get in the NCAA tournament, and his thoughts on exactly what's going wrong with this Indiana team. I think there are a number of things you can look at, and everyone pretty much agrees that that consistently that there are some of the same problems, but everyone has their own take. I'll be curious to get Cameron's a little bit later today when he joins us. Also, Cameron recently penned a nice story that you can read at InsideTheHall.com about Anthony Leal, who is a Mr. Basketball, maybe one of the front runners, and of course Bloomington South having a tremendous season. Anthony Leal, a candidate for that big postseason award, and he kind of talked with Anthony about what's ahead for him, the rest of the Bloomington South season, the state tournament, before he gets to Indiana, and of course he's right there in Bloomington already. But an interesting story. We'll talk some with Cameron about that when he joins us in place of Alex coming up a little bit later today. Later in the program, we will be joined by Coach Wiley Brown of IU Southeast. Wiley's a great friend and has been great to the area. Of course, started as a player at the University of Louisville and has most recently been on the Southern Indiana side of things as coach of IU Southeast. And the reason we talk with Coach Brown today, always try to catch up with him a couple times a year. He does great stuff at IU Southeast, a lot of it with local players from Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana as well. But our conversation today will start with Coach Brown and some success that he's had and now recently becoming the all-time winningest coach as of last Saturday at IU Southeast. They're going to celebrate that accomplishment this Saturday before the home game. I believe it's Saturday afternoon at IU Southeast. So Coach Brown joins the program a little bit later today. It's always fun to catch up with him. He's also getting honored along with some of the other great Louisville players coming up as well. So it's been a very fun time. I know a busy time, but a fun time for Wiley, and he joins us later in the hour today. That's a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany, and you can receive right now, it's $20 off any bone-in ham. Again, $20 off any bone-in ham. Also, buy one, get one free ham bones as well. That's all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to have a question or comment from you. Perhaps it'll get read on the air or used as a question for one of our guests in today's show. You can follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me a question or comment there. And the show has a Facebook page, which you can like on Facebook. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can leave us a question there. Send us a message on Facebook as a question. We appreciate all of you that send in questions on a daily basis, some of you, and we'll get some of those on the air today with our guests when they join us. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Big Ten Conference last night, it was a doubleheader. Ohio State wins 72-66 over Rutgers, that game in Columbus, so a home game for Ohio State. Rutgers has had a great Big Ten season. Ohio State now, a couple wins. Is this Ohio State team getting better? I don't know that we're going to see them get back on track to being a projected Final Four team is what they were in the middle of December, but that's definitely a big home win last night against Rutgers for Ohio State. And Michigan with a win as they try to climb out of the bottom four that first day of the Big Ten tournament bracket play, a lot like Indiana is right now. They had a win last night at Northwestern, so a road win at Northwestern for Michigan, 79-54. Not just a road win, but a handled Northwestern for that road win last night in Big Ten conference play. And as I mentioned tonight, only one Big Ten game. That is Iowa at Indiana. Of course, a very busy Friday, a very busy weekend in the Big Ten Conference. Purdue at Ohio State. That is a Saturday game. Northwestern at Penn State. Wisconsin at Nebraska. Illinois at Rutgers. Maryland at Michigan State, which is an interesting game on Saturday as well. A couple games on Sunday. Indiana back at it. They go to Ann Arbor on Sunday at Michigan. And Iowa at Minnesota on Sunday as well. That's a look at the Big Ten slate coming up here today and over the weekend as well. As we move on in our Zaxby's headlines, was reading a piece on Iowa today from Alex Bozich at Inside the Hall, and he wrote this in his preview of the game. Quote, the Hoosiers have not won a game since beating Michigan State on January 23, and it's easy to pinpoint the moment things changed. Indiana led Maryland 76-70 at home with 1:25 to play on January 26 and lost the game 77-76. Alex continues, since that collapse against the Terps, the Hoosiers have been beaten soundly three straight games. They now play four of their next six games on the road, and the two home games in that stretch are against ranked teams in Iowa and Penn State. That two sentences, that two paragraphs, to me, sums up this Indiana season. Alex actually pinpointing a real turning point, it seems, for this team. They're ahead over Maryland, leading by six in a very competitive game. Under a minute and a half left in the contest. They go on to lose by 1 point. And since that point moving forward, those good moments we got from this Indiana team and some of its players have just not shown themselves since that point. So Iowa, a ranked team, Penn State, a ranked team. Those are the two home games in this next stretch of upcoming games. Four of those next six games on the road. I think it's easy to understand why even against a ranked Iowa team tonight at home, we all agree, it is a must-win game for Indiana tonight. Luca Garza for Iowa. He's had just an unbelievable season for Iowa. He is averaging 23.1 points, 9.9 rebounds, so almost averaging a double-double. Has had a number of those this season. It plays just over 30 minutes or so a game. 6'11", 260 pounds, can play in the paint. He can hit the perimeter shots as well. Drives it is also for this Iowa team one of the more outstanding players in the Big Ten Conference this season for Iowa, and it's been a reason that in their good moments, and they've had ups and downs as well, as I mentioned, but in their good moments, a big reason why this team has found its way into the rankings as well. So big challenge, tough challenge coming up tonight for Indiana. 8 o'clock tip. It's on Big Ten Network tonight. If you're going to watch the game on television, Iowa 17-7 overall, 8-5 in the Big Ten Conference. And, of course, Don Fisher for us here on the Big X and the IU Network, he has the call of the Indiana-Iowa game pregame coverage tonight at 7 o'clock. I always remind you, even if you're going to go somewhere and watch the game or go to the game, tune the pregame in with Don Fisher. He's going to have interview with Archie Miller, always has the starting lineup well in advance. Always interesting are the pregame shows and the coverage that Don Fisher and the crew have, again, 1 hour before tip-off. So tonight, 7 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. One high school note as far as coaching openings. Earlier this week, we mentioned that there was a girls' opening now at New Albany with Tammy Guerin resigning, and make it an opening at Jeffersonville as well. Michael Warren announced yesterday that he is going to resign as girls basketball coach at Jeffersonville. So that puts two big jobs, two big schools, Hoosier Hills Conference jobs, both of those teams in the 4A sectional locally that are now open. So as far as girls basketball in the area, there will be some changes, it looks like, at the helm of some of the bigger programs here in Clark and Floyd counties, with both New Albany and Jeffersonville now being open, and we're just a few days outside of the conclusion of the season for New Albany and Jeffersonville, less than a week at this point, so two jobs open. It's going to be interesting to see girls and boys, it always is. Is it an active year for jobs coming open? What will the boys' job carousel look like? Some years it's very active and all sorts of changes, and one change causes another, which causes another. Other years, not a lot of movement at all. It'll be interesting to see if this quick start to some girls' jobs continues the cycle of coaching changes here in the area with some of our girls and boys basketball programs. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget to stop by Zaxby's with locations in Jeff and New Albany for great food. And, of course, Zaxby's is home of the famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order at Zaxby's, again, with locations in Jeff and New Albany. Stay with us tonight. We've got the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show presented by Frank H. Monroe coming your way. Three coaches will join me in that program tonight. It'll also air Friday as well as we get you ready for the weekend in high school basketball. Providence coach Ryan Miller, one of three guests. Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy also will join, as will Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, in the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling tonight and Friday here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Cameron Drummond of Inside the Hall. He's replacing Alex Bozich today, who is out, and Cameron will help us break down and preview the Iowa at Indiana game tonight. We'll talk Anthony Leal and recruiting. We'll talk IU's upcoming stretch and the Big Ten as a whole, all in the next segment with Cameron Drummond of Inside the Hall, right here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich is always with us in this segment of Inside the Hall. Today, Alex is out, and so Cameron Drummond, one of his writers at InsideTheHall.com, joins us to talk IU basketball, a little recruiting, and other subjects today. Cameron, it's great to have you with us on this IU game day to talk about the Hoosiers and Iowa and a very important game for IU.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Want to talk about this matchup today, and really this game as a whole today. Indiana has once again this season found themselves in a familiar position, which is where they got to win this one at home based on what's ahead. Road games, other home games in this next six-game stretch against ranked teams. Iowa's ranked. Iowa's been playing fairly good. Iowa has Luka Garza, who we know is very talented. But despite all that, the situation Indiana has found themselves in, I think we're all ready to call this a back-against-the-wall, must-win game for Indiana. I'm curious if you have that read, if you share that same read on tonight's game.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's almost like it's eerily similar to the way last season kind of unfolded. I mean, obviously a four-game losing streak isn't quite losing 12 out of 13 in conference play, but given the strength of the Big Ten and the way that the eight games remaining in the regular season kind of pan out for Indiana, you could see this season maybe kind of go in a 12 of 13 loss direction should they not pick up a win tonight. And it's, you know, not only the fact that they need to just win a game to, you know, kind of boost their tournament resume and get themselves back on steady ground in terms of making the postseason, but it's also the quality of the win that this would provide. Obviously, Iowa, a top 25 team, has some really quality wins this season. You know, everyone kind of saw what they're able to do in terms of making shots from distance when you have a guy like Luka Garza who can both have success inside, also in the pick-and-pop game, and also can float up to the three-point range and make a fair amount of shots. So I think it's very fair to say that this is kind of a must-win, backs-against-the-wall type game for the Hoosiers. And that seems to be something kind of reflected not only around the city of Bloomington, around the IU campus in the days leading up to the game, but also kind of in the tone that Archie Miller took in his pregame press conference yesterday, talking about guys needing to take accountability for leadership of the team and that they're almost at a now or never point where if no one steps up and kind of grabs the bull by the horns, then it's maybe not going to happen for them this season.
Talking with Cameron Drummond of Inside the Hall, going back to what Archie had to say yesterday in some of his media availability, what did you make of his comments about guys stepping up, or maybe if they don't step up, it won't happen for Indiana this year?
I think it was really indicative. One of the final questions during the pregame media conference was basically specifically asking Archie who are the guys on the team that have taken a leadership role, and which guys are you looking to step up and, you know, be that loud voice in the locker room or that loud voice on the court when things are getting difficult? And more or less, Archie Miller kind of passed on that question. He didn't specify a single player or even a singular group of players like upperclassmen or guards or front court players. He basically just said that anyone's voice is kind of welcome on the court as long as they have something informative and positive to say. And that kind of reflects the leadership problem that this team not only had this year, but also in the two prior teams that Miller's coached at Indiana. I mean, the fact that he can't even specify the seniors, Devontae Green or Deron Davis, or any of the guard play from guys like Al Durham, who's a team captain, to, you know, Rob Finnessy, who seems to kind of be the main cog when the offense is working well. The fact that Archie decided to not specify any player maybe kind of, you know, opens that can of worms to people saying, well, it's the middle of February in your third season as head coach. How do you not have a defined leader on this team or someone that you can go to when times are tough? We've heard a lot about Joey Brunk being a strong voice in the locker room, despite still being a first-year player at Indiana. But with his kind of regression in play over the past few weeks, that also seems to maybe have not panned out in the way that you could have maybe seen after his strong performances in December and January. So it was honestly probably a bit of a concern when you hear Archie Miller basically say that there's no defined leader on this team and that they're taking a leadership by committee position, basically, because the team is also taking kind of a scoring by committee position as well, because you don't really know who's going to give you the 12 to 15 points on a night-in, night-out basis beyond maybe Trace Jackson Davis. So I thought the leadership comments were pretty indicative from Archie Miller just of the way the team is struggling to communicate, the way the team is struggling to have that one go-to guy. And by saying that there really isn't one defined leader on the team, he basically kind of answered the question by saying that, you know, there's not a specific guy, and that kind of leads into the problem of, you know, when there's 4 minutes to go against Maryland and it's crunch time, or when you're trying to save off a 12-0 run from Purdue to end the first half last Saturday, there's not that one guy you can all turn to and, you know, be reliant on. And that kind of eats at the core of what's been the problem for Indiana over these last four games that they've all lost.
Cameron Drummond of Inside the Hall, our guest, talking IU basketball today in place of Alex Bozich. Back to the Iowa matchup tonight. Obviously, Luka is a player that I think if you've paid any attention to the wild and wacky year of Big Ten Conference play, we're all very familiar with. But the talent for Iowa doesn't necessarily stop with him. There are a number of other players on that roster that have helped them to the season that they've had and that have also that bring talent to the game. Other potential players tonight to watch out for, and maybe even taking that a step further and going back to Luka as well, matchups that you could see tonight, who guards who in this Iowa-Indiana game tonight.
Right, yeah. So starting with the guys away from Luka, Archie Miller addressed this yesterday as well. He singled out three of their backcourt players, Joe Wieskamp, C.J. Frederick, and Connor McCaffrey, the son of Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey, as guys who Indiana still needs to be leery of in terms of not, you know, sending four to five guys with the sole mission on the court being to defend Luka Garza, because Iowa's guard play and their outside shooting is strong enough to where if you focus all your resources on one guy like Luka Garza, who, you know, rightfully so demands a lot of attention, those guards are going to kill you from the outside in terms of making shots, in terms of distributing the ball, in terms of just finding a way to beat you, even if Luka Garza isn't going to get, you know, 25, 30 points. That being said, that kind of also draws attention to the guard versus guard matchup, because obviously Indiana's backcourt play hasn't been reliable for most of the season, and in particular during this four-game losing streak when you're seeing Devontae Green going 1 of 6 or 1 of 7 from the field on a nightly basis. You've seen Al Durham and Rob Finnessy struggle to really attack the rim and drive the ball inside, kind of being content to lay on the perimeter. And that's probably not going to work against Iowa from the simple fact that Iowa is a better three-point shooting team than Indiana is. And if you're going to have Joe Wieskamp or Connor McCaffrey out on the perimeter chucking three-point shots compared to Al Durham or Devontae Green, what, you know, past history has indicated is that Iowa's going to make more of those shots. So I'm looking for Indiana's guards to maybe try and attack the rim a bit more tonight. That was something that Armon Franklin, Indiana's freshman guard, mentioned during pregame media yesterday as well, the fact that Indiana needs to find a way to get the ball to the cup. And in terms of potential matchups, I think all attention has to be on the Luka Garza matchup, not just in terms of trying to limit his points and rebounds, because he's going to get his. It's just a matter of how many. But also the way that Indiana dedicates double teams and the types of front court players that Indiana puts on Luka Garza to make sure that they, you know, can slow him down enough to where they force Iowa's backcourt to make the Hawkeyes win the game in that regard. I think Deron Davis is an interesting case just because he's a big physical presence who matches up well against certain players in the Big Ten, certain inside players. But guys like Luka Garza and Jalen Smith from the Maryland game a couple weeks ago are matchup nightmares against Deron just because of his lack of mobility. And that's kind of the same thing with Jerry Brunk as well. He's not great at hedging ball screens, as we've seen for most of the season. He's not effective when it comes to being able to control guys both inside and outside. So I think this really becomes a matchup of either Trayce Jackson-Davis or Race Thompson on Luka Garza, depending on who's more effective, to see if they can slow down Iowa's National Player of the Year candidate. And this isn't maybe uncharted territory for a guy like Race Thompson either, because we saw the success he had last season when he returned from injury in a home game against Wisconsin. He was very effective on Ethan Happ. Luka Garza is kind of a similar matchup just because of the way he can float in space, especially in the mid-range, and still make shots. So I'd be really intrigued to see if Race Thompson gets time on Luka Garza tonight and how effective he is in slowing him down.
Cameron Drummond of Inside the Hall, our guest today, joining us as we talk IU basketball and get ready for a matchup tonight with Iowa at Assembly Hall. 8 o'clock tip-off, pregame coverage at 7, and of course Don Fisher has the call here on the Big X with that 8 p.m. tip. I do want to mention as well, it's a quick turnaround. Indiana had a nice break before the Purdue game and a few days before this Iowa contest tonight, but not a lot of time, win or lose, in this very important game tonight, as Indiana will travel to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to take on the Wolverines, who were victorious in a big way last night at Northwestern. Maybe just an early thought on that game and that matchup, win or lose tonight, for Indiana looking ahead.
Yeah, obviously that game probably looks a little bit more difficult for Indiana now than it did maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, just because of the fact that Michigan's kind of found its form, found its rhythm. They've added Isaiah Livers back to the fold. So things are going a bit smoother for Juwan Howard in his first season in Ann Arbor now. And also the simple fact that it's a road game for Indiana. And if we've seen nothing else this season, it's the fact that Indiana still cannot figure it out away from Assembly Hall. They had the one win where they took care of business after some early jitters at Nebraska. But every other road game, I believe the average margin of defeat is something like 12.5 points when you look at the losses at places from Penn State to Ohio State to even Rutgers. So it's a quick turnaround. Archie Miller has been kind of vocal in some of his media availabilities about, you know, maybe not a lot of time between games, and especially with this one being a Thursday night to Sunday afternoon when Indiana has to travel. But the Chrysler Center is also a very difficult place to play. We've seen Indiana struggle there in the past few years under Archie Miller as well. And it gets back to the idea of not letting the same team beat you multiple times. I think it's, you know, in a way, it's fair to say that that loss to Maryland that Indiana had to start this four-game losing streak kind of has beaten them time and time again, because they haven't looked like the same team since that first half performance against the Terrapins. So win or lose tonight against Iowa, it just has to be a complete mental reset for the Hoosiers as they go to Ann Arbor. And especially given maybe the lack of available players in terms of what Archie Miller likes to play in his rotation. Haven't seen Demezi Anderson in a few games, only have four scholarship guards that he's comfortable playing in the backcourt. It could be fair to say that fatigue and maybe just, you know, a lack of a mental break could be a factor in Ann Arbor, especially if the Hoosiers don't show out well tonight against Iowa.
Cameron Drummond, my guest. Cameron is a writer with Alex Bozich on the InsideTheHall.com website. And, of course, Alex is always with us Thursdays in this segment. Cameron filling in for Alex today. I want to talk a couple other subjects with you, Cameron, while we have the chance to catch up. You recently had the opportunity to interview and catch up with Anthony Leal, who is playing at Bloomington South in his senior season. Obviously someone in the mix for Mr. Basketball. His Bloomington South team, it seems like, as always, in the mix for a state championship potentially in Class 4A as well. You had a chance to catch up with him, kind of talk about what the rest of the high school season looks like or could look like, and of course all in advance of his time in Bloomington, staying in Bloomington for college and with the IU program once he gets into the off season. What'd you learn from Anthony? He's had a great senior year, and I know he hopes that senior year continues a few more weeks into the month of March in the postseason.
No, yeah, for sure. And the game I caught up with Anthony at following was a, I believe, a 70-43 home win at South against Martinsville. And Leo, you know, looked the part. It wasn't a game where he necessarily had to dominate and go out and score 30 or, you know, 35 points. I believe he finished with 11. Martinsville doesn't have a particularly good team this year. But he's just a very in-control player who seems to know his role on the team. He's not trying to drive to the rim every time. He's not trying to take step-back threes. He's a good ball facilitator. He's able to kind of assert himself in the block as well, especially against an undersized opponent like Martinsville had, and, you know, call for the ball, make the right read. Really kind of stays within himself when he's playing on the court. And as you mentioned, Bloomington South is flying this year. J.R. Holmes has another good team, another undefeated team, as they only have one conference game left before postseason play begins. And that's kind of all that Anthony Leal is focused on right now, with earmuffs and blinders toward the postseason, toward bringing a state title to Bloomington South. And the game that I happened to be at, the victory over Martinsville, saw him move into third place all time in the Bloomington High School South scoring charts. I believe he's only behind John Holmes, the former North Carolina player, and Chance Coyle, now at Southern Indiana, on the all-time charts. It seems that if Leal keeps up his scoring pace and if South does progress far enough into the postseason, he should be able to take over that top spot from Chance, you know, some point in the next month or so. But in terms of all the accolades, whether it's Mr. Basketball or, you know, being known as a Bloomington South legend or something like that, Anthony Leal honestly couldn't care less about that stuff at this point. He just seems solely focused on the team aspect, saying that, you know, none of the personal accolades mean anything to him unless he can hang a banner inside the Bloomington High School South gym. And that's kind of maybe the selfless, gritty attitude that Hoosier fans will enjoy from watching Leal once he comes to Bloomington as a college student. Just the idea that he's a team-first guy, you know, he'll be diving on the floor for balls, he'll be fundamentally sound, solid free-throw shooter, you know, makes his bunnies around the rim as well. So I think that's something to look forward to for Hoosier fans, is just the fact that they're getting a solid all-around player who, obviously having grown up and attended high school in Bloomington, really gets the Indiana Hoosier culture as well, more so than someone who's coming in from either coast, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You can read Cameron's piece and interview with Anthony Leal at InsideTheHall.com, one of the more recent headlines on the website. Cameron, while we've got you to another very interesting series that you're handling for the Inside the Hall site, is a State of Basketball series where you take a look at some of the great gyms, historic gyms in the state of Indiana. And I didn't realize this until I did a little digging. I think I missed the first part. But each of the gyms that you're writing about in this State of Basketball series was featured in the preseason, or I should say the pregame introduction video that I use using this year at Assembly Hall for men's basketball, where you're going around the state taking a look at some of the big gyms and some of the big subjects in our state. And I don't think you're from Indiana originally, so I've got to believe, in addition to doing some great content for the readers at the Inside the Hall website, this has been a great kind of history lesson in Indiana basketball folklore for you as well.
Yeah, so to kind of sum up the series quickly, basically the Indiana pregame introduction video this season, for anyone who's had a chance to visit Assembly Hall or maybe check out a couple tweeted videos of it, basically it goes through a quick, you know, succession of shots of different gyms from around the state, like 1 to 2 second clips where it's just a still of a hoop, the background, the court, all that stuff. So I thought it'd be cool to track down the different gyms and the different places that were featured in the video and use it as a way to both explain to readers, you know, why it's important for these oftentimes small town gyms, these historical places, to be featured on the big stage of a introduction video in front of 17,000 people on a game-to-game basis inside Assembly Hall. But also, as you mentioned, for myself, I'm from Dallas, Texas originally. So, you know, going around the state, talking to different people, learning about the importance of a certain gym to a region or an area, especially when, you know, that gym ceased operations in 1950 or 1968, and the fact that it's been preserved for 50 or so years, the fact that it's been included in an introduction video, what that means to the people in the community that these gyms formed around. Because oftentimes the high schools that use these gyms have moved on to bigger and better things, yet the communities still feel a need to keep the gyms alive as either recreational centers, or some of them are different projects now. Some of them are, you know, part of apartment complexes or part of health and wellness centers. So it's just a really interesting look at kind of the multifaceted use of gyms in the state and what holding on to those memories from years past means to a lot of people. So so far, I've been to Pleasantville, an unincorporated community kind of near the Terre Haute area. We did a gym in Indianapolis. We've done one in Lebanon. And there's still about 4 to 5 parts to go in the series. You know, I'm talking about the Anderson Wigwam. I'm talking about a gym that's actually part of a library in Newport. And there's a couple others as well. But it's been a good way to kind of learn more about the Hoosier basketball tradition while also either informing people about it, who didn't know about it previously, or kind of reminding people who have moved south or moved out of Indiana about the basketball love that they grew up with in the state.
Let me ask you, Cameron, just interested, any of the gyms or the stops ahead located anywhere in southern Indiana, or are they all pretty much central or northern?
I think most of them are central or northern. It kind of just, at this point, depends on who gets back to me in terms of some of the final gyms in the series. So we'll see if I'm able to get in contact with some of the folks to put out a story about any of the ones that were down in southern Indiana. But I think most of them are kind of centrally and northern-based in the series.
Absolutely. Cameron, before we let you know, give us a prediction tonight. You cover this team. You follow all the storylines up close and personal. I know this Indiana team's not been playing great and at times has been very unpredictable this season, but what do you think happens tonight at Assembly Hall?
I've had this strange kind of vibe for the past maybe 24 to 48 hours that this game is really reminiscent to me of the Wisconsin game from last season. Also in Assembly Hall when Indiana was struggling, Ethan Happ, a really strong and talented big man, came in and Race Thompson was able to neutralize him. The Hoosiers obviously won in overtime on Romeo Langford layup right toward the end. I think Luka Garza is just going to be too much for Indiana in the front court just because we haven't seen enough of the front court, specifically from guys like Joey Brunk and Deron Davis in the past few games, to lead me to believe that they're going to be able to hold Luka Garza under something like 20 to 25 points. As you mentioned, it's been an unpredictable season, but I think Iowa is able to run out winners today. I'm going to say a final score of 81 to 68. But again, this all changes if anyone from the Indiana backcourt can make a three-pointer, or if someone like Race Thompson or Trace Jackson Davis can have prolonged success, either in ball denial with Luka Garza or just making things difficult for him around the rim. But at this point, just based on the facts and what we've seen from both teams leading up to the game, there's just too much evidence kind of pointing toward an Iowa win to expect anything different.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think lots of Hoosier fans even will agree with that prediction in tonight's game. Cameron Drummond of Inside the Hall, you can read his work, and of course, Alex and the team at InsideTheHall.com. We appreciate your time today. Great job filling in for Alex, and I'm sure that we will connect again in the future. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
We will head to a commercial break, and when we come back, switch gears and talk with Wiley Brown, former U of L player and head coach at Indiana University Southeast. Recently, like last Saturday, he became the school's all-time winningest coach, and he joins us today to talk about that honor, his team, and a lot more coming up next in our final segment on this Thursday show. Stay with us. The Hoosier Report continues on this Thursday right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back for this final segment here on Thursday's show with one of my favorites, Wiley Brown, the head coach at IU Southeast, former player at the University of Louisville, and just a great guy, great basketball person here in the area, and thrilled to death that he's having the success that he is at Indiana University Southeast. Coach Brown, great to catch up. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. Hope all is well.
Absolutely, and I know things are going well for you. Recently, after a big win by your IU Southeast team, you became the all-time winningest coach at Indiana University Southeast, 279 career wins, and I know you hope to add more to that coming up here very soon. You passed former athletic director and the very first men's basketball coach at IUS, Jim Morris, with that victory last Saturday. Coach, lots of success with that program, both traditionally and since you took over at the helm as well. In small college basketball, situated in the area that it is, the opportunity to do so with a lot of local players, some national tournament success, some conference success, and lots of wins over your time at IU Southeast. I know it's been a lot of work, but it's also been a very fun stop in your career for you at IU Southeast.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to say a little piece about I call him Coach Jim Morris because that's all I've called him since I've met him. But what a great, great man he is. He started this program and sustained it and then gave me an opportunity to continue. And I just want to thank him for doing so. All my coaches, players, former and present players, which I thank the world of. And that's why I'm sitting here in this situation now, an all-time winner's coach at IU Southeast. But I just want to say thank you for all those guys that were before me and the guys present now.
Absolutely. Wiley Brown is my guest. Coach Brown, this is all going to be celebrated Saturday afternoon at a home game. I know that the athletic department has invited former players back, former coaches. In fact, Coach Morris expected to be there as well. What does it mean to you? Obviously, your playing career and your accomplishments there speak for themselves, but what does it mean to you to now lead young men that you once were, getting leadership from Coach Crum at the University of Louisville, to the success that you have where winning in this tradition continues on and is almost expected?
Well, it means the world to me, Matt. To see these young guys come in as boys, and then when they leave here, they men. And my thing is that I you know, through the games and through the situations that we have in between the lines, I always preach to them that the most prized I am, I won a championship in college, but the most prized I am is getting my degree at the University of Louisville, and that's what I preach to these guys here. I know them. I stay on them all the time about it, but that's the most proud I can be when I see them walk across that stage and get their degree from for a great university, Indiana University Southeast.
Talking with Wiley Brown, head men's basketball coach at IU Southeast. Now, I think I'm right on this. Last Saturday when you got the win and got number 279 to become the all-time winningest coach at IU Southeast, that also was the day that U of L featured your 1980 championship team at their game. So kind of a double honor for you, and I know both of those accomplishments, one as a coach and the other as a player, very important to who Wiley Brown is and who you've become.
Well, absolutely. You're absolutely correct on that. I've been so blessed being up under some great coaches, playing for some great coaches, and not only that, I have some great, I mean, tremendous teammates. And that's what I preach down to the guys that's presently here and the guys that played with me before. I always, this journey going to take you a lot of different places, but the most important part of this journey is your teammates and all the people that you get a chance to meet along the way. So those things, that the relationships that you build with your teammates, going to war every day with them, playing with them, classes, talking to them every day, all the time you spend with them, you remember those relationships for the rest of your life.
Wiley Brown, my guest. Coach, I want to talk a little bit about your team at IU Southeast. You guys 17-7 overall right now, 10-3 in the River States Conference. And we talk about high school sectionals are just around the corner. Earlier today we were talking about Big Ten tournament, how that seeding could work out for Indiana and others. But gosh, your postseason will be here quick. You've got Saturday's game against Midway, which is a celebration not only senior night but also of your recent success becoming the all-time winningest coach as well. But just a few games after that, starting on Wednesday, February 26th, later this month, it's the River State Men's Basketball Conference Tournament that gets underway. So we are approaching postseason very quick, and it looks like, by all accounts, that this has been another successful season with postseason hopes for IU Southeast men's basketball.
Yeah, yes, it has. We got to finish out this regular season. We got a game tonight. We go to Brescia, which is in Owensboro. We play tonight. Then we play Saturday, Midway, and then we play IU Kokomo, who's leading in our divisions. We're a game behind, so hopefully we can win out and set up to be in a good situation in our conference. Because you really want to be in a good situation in your conference, because that's how you get to your national tournament. So our national tournament is special. So these guys will get a chance to. We have one senior on the team, and hopefully we can prolong his season.
Absolutely. Wally Brown joining me as we talk IU Southeast basketball and Coach Brown's successes as well. A little bit about the roster this year. Tell us some of your key players. And once again, Coach, as I scroll through the roster and look at the hometowns and previous schools, lots and lots of players from our immediate area.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's so great about this situation that I'm in, Matt. You get a chance to recruit in a really good area, and you don't have to go that far away, because there's a great players on both sides of the river. I get a lot of kids from Louisville, get a lot of kids from the Southern Indiana area. David Burton, who's a junior for us, went to Trinity High School. I mean, he's just a tremendous young man. He's playing really well for us, and he's been playing that way all year long. Jared Osborne, who's another junior for us, he's from Bullitt East High School. So those guys have been with me 3 years, and they're the captains on the team, and they've been kind of the coaches on the floor, so to speak. And I don't let they are tremendous young men in the classroom, on the court, in the community also.
Wally Brown, IU Southeast men's basketball coach, former University of Louisville player. Coach, congratulations again on your accomplishment, now the all-time winningest coach at IU Southeast. And they will celebrate that accomplishment prior to the game Saturday, February 15th, coming up here in just a few days before the Midway University game at IU Southeast. 3 o'clock is tip-off in that game. Former coach Jim Morris will be there. Former players have been invited. And really anybody, Coach, that you've dealt with over your career, both in Louisville and now in Southern Indiana at IU Southeast, invited. I'll be there to support you, my friend. Always appreciate the time and appreciate getting to catch up with you, Wiley. It's always fun, and very proud of you. I know a lot of people share that sentiment.
No, I appreciate it, Matt. Again, I tell you, I built a lot of relationships on both sides of the river now. I still live in Louisville, but I have a lot of relationships that I built over in the Indiana area. So I love coming to work every day for this great university, and its athletic program is trending in the right direction. So I'm excited about the situation I am.
Congratulations, Coach. Best of luck the rest of the way. We'll talk with you again when the postseason arrives.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. I'll be back with you Friday at 11. We'll have Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us, as well as Jared Morris of Assembly Call. We'll wrap up Indiana and Iowa, which takes place tonight. Have a great Thursday. Talk with you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.